Welcome to the All Wheels Rolling Podcast. My name is Mark Hamilton. You can find us on Facebook if you search All Wheels Rolling Podcast. We're on Instagram and Twitter, All Wheels Pod. And if you want to shoot us an email, it's allwheelsrolling@gmail.com. You can find us on Spotify and iTunes. Our show is now powered by Christine Pratt Physiotherapy. You can find her at christinepratt.ca. And the Crank and Sprocket Bicycle Company, you can find them at crankandsprocket.ca. Thanks for tuning in. Today on the show we have Deidre, or Dee Maloney. She's the founder, title sponsor, team captain of Highgate Racing. Her athletic background began in triathlon, and she switched over to cycling full-time 5 years ago. She's passionate about mental health, fitness, and encouraging people to harness their inner strength. You can find her motivational videos on her YouTube channel, Healthy Body, Healthy Mind, as well as her Instagram account is Deidre Maloney _. She's married to Jonathan Maloney and is a homeschooling mother to 3 of her 4 children. They spend their winters traveling between Florida, California, and Arizona, and her home base is in Oro Medonte, Ontario. Also, we have Christine Pratt. Christine got into cycling in 2013 after completing Ride to Conquer Cancer without any training or any riding experience, in fact, borrowing someone's bicycle. Christine is a registered physiotherapist and recreational rider. Her son Thomas is 2 years old, and it's been a tough transition for her to get back into cycling. Also, we have Tamara Hopkins. Tamara started mountain biking in 2009. She started racing O Cups in 2015. Flash forward 2 years later, 2017, she won the Master Expert Women 30-39 Provincial Champion and overall winner. Her and her husband love travel, and they centered around bicycling, and they've gone to Quebec, Vermont, and North Carolina multiple times. Today's show is predominantly about pregnancy and being a new mother, and I think the ladies discussed some really important topics. I want to give a shout out as well to Nadia Munshaw. She started cycling in 2016 with Barry Cycling Club's Learn to Ride as a way to carve out some me time after the birth of her first child. Her very first ride was 35 kilometers long, and she was so proud to have hung on, which was then her longest ride ever. Flash forward to 2018, when she completed her first dawn to dusk ride, which was 230 kilometers. 2019 was averaging about 100 kilometers per week, and probably 3 to 4 rides overall. Nadia is expecting her second child. I really hope you enjoy what we talked about today. Unfortunately, we didn't have her, but we'll get her for another episode another time. Hope you enjoy, folks. Welcome to the show. I got Dee Maloney, Christine Pratt, and Tamara Hopkins. Thanks for joining me today, ladies. We're going to talk about pregnancy and having kids and all the good stuff that comes with that and cycling. So maybe if you care to share your experience, sort of the benefits if you do decide to cycle once you find out that you're pregnant. Did anyone sort of like day you found out say, yes, I'm still cycling, or no, I'm not?
I can start.
Go ahead, Tamara.
Because I'm fresh at all this. I have a 6-month-old, so I think for me, I saw so many other women staying super active, and even knew some mountain bikers that were still mountain biking when they were pregnant, so I was like set that I felt like, yeah, I'm gonna keep going as long as I'm comfortable. And so I found out I was pregnant in March. So kind of just at the start of the mountain bike season, and I mean, it was early pregnancy most of the summer, so I was comfortable all summer, and I was able to comfortably ride right up until I think the end of October was really when I kind of called it quits. It was starting to get wet, and I'm not a fan of wet riding in general, so I was like, yeah, I'm gonna tap out now. So I switched to the trainer and the gym, until the little man came at the beginning of January, I guess. And that's what worked well for me.
Fair.
And did you race during that time? Because I know Alana, Sean, Alana and Sean
from Superfly. Superfly Racing, yes.
Yeah, she was racing still while she was maybe 6 months, I think.
So I decided not to. Yeah, that was where my comfort, I wasn't comfortable to. I felt that I was gonna, my competitiveness would make me do something stupid. And I was like, it's okay to injure myself, but I was worried about doing something dumb. And yeah, good for the people that feel comfortable, power to them, that's awesome. I just felt for me, that's not true. I raced when I was, I only raced in the first trimester. There you go. Yeah, I did an 8 hour and the women's 4 hour. That's right. But I was like, first trimester, yeah. I wasn't very pregnant, so yeah. But then after that, I didn't.
Christine, what about you?
So I learned I was pregnant at the end of November, so cycling season really over. But I shut down. Definitely, I wasn't on a trainer. I wasn't doing a whole lot except for walking. Because we did fertility and we tried for so long, and I just didn't want to do anything to jeopardize that, even though, like, as a physio, I know that these things are beneficial more than they're not, and you're not going to jostle this baby loose, but I was just too nervous, so I shut it down. Yep.
Dee, what about you?
Well, I found out I was pregnant in November as well, but I was already 3 months pregnant, so I had been maintaining my training up to that point, you know, doing all my intervals, doing the donut ride in Toronto on Saturdays. So race season was over, but I was still, you know, in the mix, and I was starting to slow down, and I didn't understand why,
yeah.
And I was actually getting really upset, and I was working with a new coach, actually Robert Holmgren,
yep,
from up here, and he had me doing these big plyometric workouts, and so one day I'm training in the basement, I'm doing my plyometrics, and it was like an hour and a half of jumping exercises. It was just ridiculous. But I kind of liked the torture too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm jumping, and I have mirrors, and I'm looking, and I'm just like, my legs and my arms look so lean, but like, I have this little pot belly.
Oh my gosh.
What's up with that? I'm like, well, you know, I'm almost 40. Maybe this is just it. Like, I can't control the midsection anymore. I have 3 kids. And then I keep jumping, and then I look again, and I'm like, pot belly? Pregnant belly, like the two kind of like clicks.
Oh my gosh.
Like, really? When was my last period? So, you know, I run to the store, I get the test. Sure enough, I'm pregnant. And it ended up being that I was already 12 weeks pregnant.
Oh,
I had
gosh.
No clue.
Wow.
So I did train through it. And I planned to train through my entire pregnancy, because we had, we train away, like we leave for the winter and we head to California or Florida, whatever, and we train through the winter. So I had planned to train through the entire winter. We had vacations planned. And so I was like, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to continue it. But once I got into like 6 months, I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is my chance to take a break.
Mm.
Like, I am always so competitive and I'm always on.
Yeah.
Like, I get to sit and just chill right now if I want to. Like, that's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it. Yeah. And I did a lot of walking, and
yeah.
I still like lifted weights, but pretty much shut it down when I was about 6 months pregnant. But I switched to indoor because it was November anyway,
yeah.
So I switched onto the trainer. I raised up the stem to make it a little higher, to make it more comfortable. But honestly, I didn't really do a lot of biking after that. I just wasn't comfortable sitting on that little seat. I guess I could have bought a cushion seat or something, but...
I did try to get on a bike in the spring, and I think because, one, I hadn't sat on a bike seat in months, and things are changing, and then just, like, your belly just gets in the way, right? So... I was like, you know what? I mean, it felt good to be on a bike, but no. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you trained through the first trimester? Like, you didn't feel...
I had
no idea. You didn't feel
sickness,
like sickness
no.
or anything?
No. I was just... I was tired.
Yeah.
But no, I had no clue. I was just extra tired. But we had just moved. Like, it was this huge transition in our life. We moved. We were renovating our house. We were both struggling with our families, like our parents. There was like a lot of turmoil there. So it was so much stress that I just thought, oh, I'm really stressed out. And it was the first year, I think, of Highgate So, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on. And then I had two small kids. They were like 4 and 5 or something.
Of course you're tired.
Yeah. Yeah, it just made sense. Like, yeah. Of course I'm tired.
Yeah.
And you said you ended up changing your position, Tamara. When you were riding, did you have to change your position?
Yes, I did. I can't remember how far in, but whenever it was uncomfortable, we raised my stem and felt, yeah, because mine was pretty slammed bit down forward, pretty aggressive, and we raised it up, and I remember being like, oh, there's so much more space, and then eventually that space ran out, and I was like, also feeling, pretty tight on the cockpit.
The pelvic floor, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was, but the first trimester for me, I was super nauseous all the time, and
yeah,
I would like force myself to go ride, but not force myself in a I need to train. It was force myself in a I know I'll feel better. I felt better when I was pedaling. Like, I would feel super nauseous if I was pedaling on the bike, even super slowly. I would just go out and pedal real slow. There would be like a reprieve for whatever the motion or something. I felt better for that time, and then.
That's
but
good
I was
information.
I was so tired. I remember, yeah, it was hard, but I thought it would be better for me to move my body. Yeah. But I was going to say about that you said about taking a break, and like, even though I rode, but I probably rode around the same up till like about 7 months, I felt way less I put way less pressure on myself. There was just this sense of like, I just get to go and ride and look at the trees and like, and just be and not feel like I'm training all the time. I felt like I was just enjoying the trails, and that was like such a nice change while I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tamara, did you change to the indoor trainer at some point? Like,
I
for
did.
For safety reasons? Let's look at it
well,
from that angle.
It was more, I guess, like I said, it was the end of October, so early November. It was starting to get wet outside. I just don't love riding when it's cold and wet. Even if I wasn't pregnant, I don't love that riding. I might have ridden a bit longer if I wasn't pregnant. So it was I don't love that weather, but also probably a safety thing in my head, thinking I might slide out easier, I don't want to crash. I'm not super comfortable on that stuff. So I think there was a safety thing in my head too. I switched to, you know what? I didn't set up my trainer until after he was born. My bike went into the shop to get work done. Well, in like November, December, and I went to the gym for that last bit and was walking on the treadmill more than even the bike in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's I think staying active is, even if it's walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, some type of activity is definitely important. I had a hard time. I had these plans, so I was going to stay active and I was going to strength train and I was going to work my pelvic floor and get my legs strong, and I just, you know, I was nauseous for like 16 weeks, I want to say, and I could eat nothing, and I did nothing except for work and sleep, and then I finally started to feel better, and then I had SI joint and leg pain issues, so I tried all kinds of things, tape and a belt to, you know, try to snug things together, because our hips widen, right, to repair. And so even just like walking around the block was a chore because I had this pain. So all of the ideas and all the research that I had done into how important it is to stay active and keep your body strong so that you're stronger for labor and afterwards, I couldn't do.
It was just a listen to your body. You had to do what your body would allow
you
to do.
I was super frustrated because I'm really like motivated and strong-willed. But my body was telling me, no, this baby just needs you to chill. So, yeah, I did some chilling.
You were talking about, I'm asking you this because you're the physio of us, about your, I don't remember doing anything for my pelvic floor while I was pregnant. Do they typically recommend doing stuff while you're pregnant?
Yeah, there's some prehab that you can do, some strengthening, and also the opposite of Kegels is to learn how to lengthen through your pelvic floor and how to relax it, which is important for labor and delivery. Mm. So I worked on a lot of that.
The relaxation side, because you hear a lot about Kegels, but it's not necessarily just about
Right, so oftentimes with a pelvic floor, we have an overactive pelvic floor, just like, I mean, our quads are probably overactive and super tight all the time. Your pelvic floor can be the same way. So if you're just Kegeling all the time and tightening it, you'll make it worse, and it'll be difficult for labor and delivery.
So do you mean, so when we do the Kegel exercise, we tighten, 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 mm-hmm. are you talking about now going in the reverse direction? Release, release, release. So the slow release.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So it's like doing it in reverse.
Yeah. So you're working on releasing it through your breath. And then also you can do some self-palpation to feel like, okay, I'm contracting those muscles now. Okay. I can feel those muscles relax.
Mm-hmm.
And just the releasing part of the Kegel is just as important as the contracting part.
Mm. But a lot of people don't know that. That's
I know,
interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. And I personally was not into the pelvic health side of physio until I got pregnant myself. And I wanted to know, okay, what's happening? And how can we keep this healthy? And then afterwards, like, how can I fix this?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I have physios that specialize in pelvic floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I have actually an interesting story, a kind of funny story about being pregnant and not knowing I was pregnant. So obviously I gained some weight, right? I gained 5 pounds, and I think I even went up to 10 pounds in the first 3 months. It's quite a bit to gain. So I was also seeing a personal trainer. I'd see her once a week, and we would work on, you know, strength stuff for the bike. And she was doing this weight loss challenge with her other clients. And I was like, you know what? I put on a little bit of weight. I can't figure it out. I'm going to join the weight loss challenge. And of course, because I'm super competitive, I had to win it.
Oh my gosh.
So don't I lose 10 pounds
oh no.
in my first 3 months that I don't know that I'm pregnant,
oh,
right? And then
so
one
crazy.
Day I find out. So the next session I show up, I'm like, you know how I gained those 10 pounds? Yeah, I'm pregnant.
3 months pregnant.
It was funny,
yeah.
So I probably shouldn't be competing in your weight loss challenge here anymore. And I was winning.
Feel
I was at the head of the board.
A little bit better that you didn't just gain 5 to 10 pounds because you were getting lazy, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So one of the other ones we had sort of on the list to talk about was how soon after birth would someone... And there's no typical, because there isn't a typical for everybody. It's different for everyone. So sort of getting back on the bike, what's everyone's, maybe we start, Tamara, with you, go this way. What's your experience been?
Yeah, so personally, from my experience, I think it was 3 weeks after that I got on the trainer. So it was January when he was born. I feel like physically, honestly, I probably could have, physically my healing was really good. So I feel like I probably could have got on sooner than that. And when I say I got on at 3 weeks, I got on for like 15 minutes. I just got on just to like see how it felt and be like, I'm a person. I'm Tamara again. I'm not just mommy Tamara. Like, it was just to feel like myself. And physically it felt totally fine. And I feel like I could have sooner, but I was mentally so exhausted that up until that point, I didn't even have I felt like I didn't have a second to get on. So for me, that's what I did.
Yeah. I had Thomas August 11th, and I had to have surgery. So getting on the bike was not even a thought in my mind. I think I did ride maybe once or twice that season in like October, I want to say, just same thing, like to feel like a human, like get some air, some breeze on my face. But it still didn't feel comfortable, and it was a challenge. So it wasn't until the next season that I started riding. But I'd say from like a, you know, pelvic health or core kind of perspective, cycling is pretty easy on that part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that it's contraindicated, but just to go with what you feel like your body needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for myself, I waited 2 weeks. I waited a week, and then after a week, I started doing just some very light core exercises, some planks and like some glute stuff. Then at 2 weeks, I got back on the bike. I was really determined to get back on right away because this is my fourth baby, so I understand like you got to get the weight off really quick because, or it could be a struggle. Like the longer it stays on, the harder it's going to be to get off. So I wanted to get rid of the weight quickly. And also cycling is such a big role in our marriage with me and my husband. So it was a real struggle for me to take that time off while he was continuing on.
Mm-hmm.
and he's achieving his goals and he's going on training camps. Like there, there was a lot of jealousy, anger. Like I had a lot of issues because we didn't get pregnant on purpose, right? I had an IUD, so we were not planning on having more kids. So we both had all of these goals and dreams. Now all of a sudden I have to stop, but he gets to keep going. I was not happy. So that was a real struggle for us in our marriage. We had to really work through that. I had a lot of stuff to work through with that. So I wanted to get back on right away because I wanted to, now I got to catch up, right? It's already hard enough to sit in his draft. Yes. Now I got to start from the beginning again. So I got on pretty quickly, but I probably only wrote about 3 times a week because you just can't get more time. Like it's impossible. You know, sometimes like the baby would be sitting there in his car seat and then you're riding for 10 minutes. He's crying. You've got to get off, breastfeed, get back on. Like a 20 minute workout could take 2 hours with a newborn. So it's kind of ridiculous, but mentally what we do to feel good sometimes doesn't make sense to other people, right?
Yeah. But I think that's good is if it's not just maybe the physical of getting back on a bike, it's the mental that's you're trying to reclaim back to normal in some sense.
Totally. And that's what I was gonna, that's a whole other thing we could discuss is the getting on the bike when I got on the trainer versus training, right? Like for me, I'm still not, he's 6 months now and I'm still not training. I'm riding. I was riding until I got hurt. I got on 3 weeks post, but I was very sporadically riding. It was like, yeah, whenever I had a minute or I felt like I could, he was gonna be calm for 20 minutes and I could go and sit on the trainer. So there was the difference of, for me, it's just moving my body, and I was using it as the trainer. It's just, I want to move my body versus I'm training. I know there are people that train right away. Like, we're talking about Sonia Looney, professional mountain biker, who started training, like, very soon after she had her baby. So people do it. For me, I did not.
She rode right up to, the day before she had her baby.
Yeah,
so
people do that, too. And everyone's different, but I guess we're talking about our experiences here today.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. I'm not a racer by any stretch of the imagination, but I only feel this season, like 2 years later, that I actually feel like myself. Mm. I'm out there, I'm having fun, I'm riding like I used to, if not stronger. And like that's 2 years later, right? That it feels great. I feel like myself. I feel like a whole person who rides bikes, right? Like. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I'd say I started putting a program in place when he was 18 months, so just 6 months ago. Although that first summer, he was born in the end of May, so I did ride quite a bit that summer, and by the end of the summer, I had gotten up to being able to do 100 kilometers.
Nice.
I had to come home, so I would go for 2 hours, come home, nurse the baby,
yes,
and then get back on the bike and go out again. So it's a lot of determination, right?
A lot of determination.
To do that. And when I started training at 18 months, I almost pulled the plug. I did a full month every day on the bike for an hour to an hour and a half. And it was so grueling that I just said to my husband, like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I can get back in shape. It's just, this is too hard. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to try one more time. And then the next ride, I had that jump finally where I saw like a little bit more power. And then it kind of came back. But yeah, getting back into it, like, it reminds me of how when someone first starts working out, whether it's in the gym with weights or whatever to try to get in shape, it is so hard. Like when you're fit, you really don't grasp, you know what I mean? Sort of kind of take advantage of that fitness. Like you don't realize how out of shape the general population is when you're in shape. And so you feel that when you're pregnant, like you can have empathy for people that are very obese or people that just are starting to work out and they're struggling. Like I constantly would think, wow, this is what it's like for them. You know, it's very hard.
And I wonder too, like you had we all did have the perspective of what it felt like to feel really strong or what our pre-baby numbers were or what that pre-time was. And then after it's like, there's also the mental of like, oh my gosh, I'm so much slower and like it feels so much harder. This shouldn't feel this hard. Or that's how I sometimes feel when I'm out. I'm like, oh my gosh, gnarly at hardwood. Why is this so hard for me? Like, I'm dying on it, you know? And this used to be so easy. So I think that's also the mental side, like knowing what I could do before. And
yeah, it gives you an appreciation for fitness, right?
Yeah.
For how hard people have to work to
totally.
To be able to push those numbers and that power.
It's also motivating, though, because I'm like, oh, it's like, I'm gonna get back there. I'm excited to. I know I will. And
well, when you
and
start making those jumps,
yeah,
like you go from 100
like,
watts to 120, then to 150,
yeah,
and you're like, oh, like it's just so rewarding.
Yeah.
You know,
and you see change,
yes,
faster than,
yes,
when you are kind of at your more peak fitness,
yeah,
right? Which will be
that
fun.
Part is fun.
Yeah. To watch the regrowth.
I would say I've gone out with Christine once this year at Hardwood, and you really got into sort of all-around training, and you said that riding with you, your overall fitness was like peak.
Yeah, so I'm in better shape than I ever have been, and I joined like a high-intensity strength weightlifting type of program. I started in December after having Thomas because, you know, it's the winter and I don't have a trainer. Am I allowed to say that? We don't have an indoor trainer?
Yeah, that's
You're
cool.
That.
That's cool. It's totally cool.
So I joined the gym, and it was mainly to get the baby weight off. I really struggled with that. Having never had to lose weight ever in my life, I've always been a skinny person, and then I had about 40 pounds to lose, which like is a lot, right? Mm. So I struggled and I joined that gym. But since weight training with my legs, like squats, deadlifts, my cycling, like I'm way stronger than before. I was keeping up with Mark, which I find is a pretty tough job to
That's
do.
Awesome.
And yeah, I was on his wheel, and he's like, oh, hey, there you are. There you are. And I'm, you know, I'm stronger.
I was not surprised by any means. To be fair, I was just making sure you were still with me.
I was pretty surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels good. Like you can get like better, and that determination to know that I can push myself, I feel good, my body feels good, I'm not breastfeeding anymore,
yeah,
I'm not tired, right? Everything just kind of falls into place.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting. It feels good.
Yeah.
And I would say all three of you have sort of had that leap, like, so you guys don't know this, but so Tamara and Ian, if they go out to Hardwood, they're both riding. And they're just trading off, so one person goes out, and they've got a nice little challenge for each other. Do you want to elaborate on this?
So when we started riding this season, before I had Jasper, I was like, I'll see how I feel this summer, whether I race or not. I'll just kind of take it as it comes, and I kind of was thinking, I won't. And then after I had him, I was like, no, I think that'll be fun to do some races with no pressure on myself, just do it for fun, see where I'm at. Then of course COVID, no racing, and I was like, okay, that's fine, I'll just hang out, have a good fun summer. And Ian's like, come on, you gotta get on Strava and you gotta race with me and we can race each other. And he's like pushing me to be competitive again. I'm like, I'm fine to just hang out, for like, have no pressure on myself and just enjoy the summer. And he's pushed. So finally, I haven't got Strava, but I have my little computer on my bike. And so now when we go out, yes, one of us pushes Jasper in the stroller on the trails, one of us rides, and we race each other. We pick a loop and we see who's faster.
And
I was always faster than Ian, and he has beat me a couple times now. So yeah.
But the last trip out,
he's gotten faster, and he has gotten faster. And I also probably have.
It's pretty even though.
Lost,
could we
fitness.
Say? Because I think you said you beat him last time.
I did. I have beat him. Yes. Yes. That is true. Yes.
Nice.
I did beat him.
That's good motivation.
Yes. It is. It is. It's a fun little competition. Yeah.
And Christine, good. You're back out riding as well.
Yes, I am.
With Meg.
Yeah, with Meg. She could still crush me. any day. I mean, as I was pregnant, she also took up strength training, and it was difficult for me to watch her get stronger and fitter and in the best shape of her life while I'm getting larger and larger and slower.
Yes.
And slower. And so, yeah, she just has the the mental determination, like, my legs say, okay, I'm done, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm done. Her legs, she just ignores them and just can go on forever, right? She's going to do her sentry ride on Thursday this week, so.
Oh, nice.
Maybe you could give her some pointers as to where she should go, but yeah, she's way stronger than me and always will be. And I'm okay with that.
But
yeah.
Your confidence level, we just recently talked, you were talking about doing something different on the mountain bike.
Not since Tamara had her injury.
No!
Well, because I don't clip in on my mountain bike, and that's the physiotherapist in me. I just am so risk averse that I think, oh, okay, if I go over something and I'm not so confident on it, I just step right off. Which I realize you can set your pedals so light and I can just pop them off anyways. But yes, this season I felt like my skills were enough that I should woman up and clip in, but I haven't. Yes.
My injury had nothing to do with being clipped in, so just saying.
Okay, do you want to talk about this? You've opened the door here, so.
Yeah, sure.
Tamara had an incident the other day. She is fresh off a elbow surgery. Screw. What'd you have done?
Yeah. Okay, well, do you want me to start with the beginning? I'll make it short. I went to the school board, Midhurst Trails. First time leaving Jasper with Ian so I could go for a solo ride. And I was like, yeah, I think it was because I was so excited. Like, I was in the parking lot and I could feel the energy. I was like vibrating. And I remember saying to myself, Tamara, calm down. You're going to do something stupid. And I did. I was riding. I felt like a spider or something on the back of my leg. So I was kind of ready. I was like standing up at the same time. Like, I was like, I went to stand on the pedals and then I felt something and it freaked me out. And put my hand back like this on the back of my leg. So my hand was back and I flipped over the handlebars.
Oh.
And then we think I landed on my shoulder and my humerus jammed down and completely broke the capitellum off the humerus. So it's like the ball joint of the humerus. So it was just broken right off. Yeah, that was fun.
Yikes.
So then I was coached by myself. And if anyone knows Dan, and I forget the other guy's name. Two guys who were riding Midhurst July 6th came and walked my bike out for me. So thank you so much if you guys are listening or if anyone knows them. Dan and I forget the other guy's name. Yeah, they walked my bike out for me. I made my way out and had surgery Thursday. So yeah, I'm not riding my bike for a little while. So I said to Ian, you gotta get my bike back on the trainer. Back to the trainer I go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it goes to show maybe some good dudes in the cycling community.
Yes.
Good people all around.
Yes, they were super helpful. Thankful for them, yes. And I'm alive, and I'll get better. Just an arm.
Yeah.
We'll heal.
And D, you're back out with John, crushing some QOMs. It's a regular thing for me to see you on Strava. And there's crowns and
top because I'm in a new
tens.
Hood. I came from Woodbridge, and now I'm up in Oro Medonte, so this is all new cycling ground for me. So
uh-huh.
I'm, like, searching, you know?
Jinx.
Well, there's no racing, so...
Yeah.
Well, exactly. There's no racing, and John is a little bit obsessed with getting the KOMs right now. And then, you know, you feed off of each other,
yeah.
Right? So I'm like, oh, you're getting them. I want QOMs, and, you know, so... And then I naturally just pick them up sitting on his wheel, which I don't know how fair that is, but whatever.
That's totally fair, Bob.
Yeah, I guess if you can hang on, then, you know, you get it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I've had a few picked out that I've wanted. I got one on line 7 the other day going from Horseshoe Valley Road up to, no, up to lines, up to Bass Road.
Bass Lake, yeah.
Bass
yeah.
Lake,
yep.
Yeah. So I just got that one, so I was really happy with that. And yeah, it's fun.
Some solid climbing on that road.
Yeah.
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 Nice.
How do you manage riding with a partner that is stronger than you or so much?
Yeah, my husband is so much stronger than me. So
just to be fair, he's stronger than most dudes in this county.
Yeah.
So
he's probably one of the strongest riders in Ontario right now, actually.
I would feel confident
saying that.
Yeah.
Like when we were in California, he was hanging with like the best guys there. Same in Arizona, you know, it would be dwindled down out of 50 guys, it would be dwindled down to 10 or less, and he was there. So it's really challenging, but what we do is we'll ride out somewhere, we pick a long stretch of road, we run our intervals separately, and then we ride home together. Or we'll do, if he's doing something easier or base, then I'll do like more of an effort ride sitting on his wheel. So, or he'll be beside me just talking, and sorry, I can't respond. I'm listening though. And he's just going on, and it's so annoying because I'm like suffering. Like, how are you just talking to me? Like, nothing's going on. Yeah, it's a struggle, but we make it work, and it's fun. It makes me really fit, like always chasing this person, right?
And so, how do you do it with your, with, well, one of your children is out of the house, but you have three that are
yeah,
at
so
home?
We have three. So either we take turns riding a day, so I'll go early, he'll go later, or vice versa, or we have a babysitter a few times a week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we love the babysitters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is probably a little challenging, I think. I know Christine and I have chatted with COVID.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's been problematic.
Yeah. And then living in Oro Medonte, you're in the country, so it's not like you have a ton of options. But I got really lucky. I've got two girls that live like three houses down, sisters, that work with us. So yeah, it's been really good. I'm really lucky.
Nice.
Yeah.
Next up on the list we had was postpartum healing.
Yeah,
listen to your body.
Yeah, listen to your body. Just
okay.
Ease into
cool.
it. Like,
yeah.
Go slow. Start with 15 minutes, then 20, and then, you know, over the next few weeks, you just keep adding on that 5 or 10 minutes, and if everything feels okay, you just keep adding.
Yeah.
And that's, okay, so then I guess maybe this kind of leads into what you're saying then. So time management of how are you, if you can think back to pregnancy and how you fit it in your day versus now having had the baby a couple of years in, whatever, time management wise, how do you fit that in?
Yeah, so again, for me, because I'm not following a training plan yet, I'm just kind of I'm just biking whenever there is time. Does that make sense for time management? So Ian is off on Ian's days off. That's our priority. Our priority is to go for a bike ride. So I know I'm going to ride twice a week on his days off because that's the easiest time for us to be able to go out. And then other days, if he happens to have time, really that's how I'm riding, is when we go out together. Or if Jasper's at a sleepover at his grandparents' house, then we get to go out together as well. Other days, it's, what's been nice is I've just been walking. Like, Jasper and I go for a walk in the woods. We walk the bike trails with the carrier or the stroller, and so it's not biking, but I still feel like I'm out there moving my body and in my happy place in the forest. But I'm on maternity leave right now, so my schedule is I just try to do some sort of movement every day. That's the time management. It's just, I have a very open schedule and I try to move at some point in the day whenever it fits in, and it will be different when I go back to work, I'm sure. Maybe you guys can better touch on that.
Christine, are you back into more of a routine riding or fitness wise?
Yeah, yep. We trade off, same thing. And at the beginning of COVID, we weren't having anyone in our circle at that point, so that I would say was difficult because my partner was working from home and I was off with Thomas. But we do have a bike trailer and I just ride my hybrid. I'll take it to the rail trail, or we'll just even go around the neighborhood just so that I'm on a bike. And I mean, he's a 25-pound kid with the trailer, so that's some pretty good stuff too, and at least I'm outside and on a bike, right?
Yeah.
And it's only been recently that we've been able to ride together and have grandparents come and watch him. And yeah, it feels good. Relationship building.
Yeah.
But I find it really difficult. Both partners working, your child's in daycare. There's a lot of guilt, right? So I haven't seen you all day. Now I'm going to leave you all night and then potentially do that 2 and 3 times a week. I tend to fall into the, I just won't do it. Oh, I'll just stay home kind of thing, because I'm not a racer or training for anything particular. So it's easy to just kind of let that go. And then, you know, a month can go by and you think, oh my gosh, I haven't ridden my bike yet. So struggling with the time management still.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I think it's really important for people to, like, when you're feeling guilty about something, but it is actually a passion. You really have to open up and communicate with your partner about it. I hear this a lot from John with his friends that, you know, their wives are upset, they're out all day on Saturday riding, or they're going out in the evenings, and you know, I understand why he rides his bike so much, because I'm in it as well, and we really communicate about it. So I think when something is a passion, it's just really important, because you're going to be happier if you're doing your passion. It's naturally going to bring out the best in you. Like, you're going to come home from that ride feeling so great. Like, and then in turn, you're going to want to give more to your partner. You're going to want them to have something. Okay, I got my time. Now, what do you want? Like, and I think, like, bartering too. Like, so I have to ride 4 times a week for a minimum of whatever, 3 hours or 4 hours each time. This is really important to me. What do you need to do? And then how can we make this work in our schedule and have that kind of trade-off and not hold those resentments against each other? Yeah, I think that communication is really important, because one day you're going to look back and just be like, I just gave that all up, and you're still miserable.
Yeah.
You still hate me? Yeah. I mean, I could have been riding my bike this whole time.
But I think it's key to holding a family together, as you said. Like, Tamara, you're taking Jasper out on the trails. That kid is going to have those trails dialed at hardwood.
Well,
and
better.
Know all of them.
That's the goal of us taking him out there. He better be learning them.
Right. And that's what we were talking about. Like, Thomas hopefully is going to...
Bring him in his little Strider out there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he can just see people on bikes and other kids maybe. And
Dee, you and I spoke about that, of like, there is such a good family vibe at Hardwood for race night. And it's race night, air quotes, but like, it's really for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super fun, and if the whole family gets involved, I really feel like that strengthens it for everyone, because then everyone's into it.
Yeah we mountain bike as a family. We have the seat on the back of John's mountain bike, and then the rest of us all ride, so it still doesn't slow him down enough.
Yeah.
So you don't know this, I don't think.
Yeah.
But Christine and I were riding at Hardwood, and I saw you guys.
Really?
Yes. And it was so one of those out of place things of like, I know who that is. Why do I know that person? And I could not, for the life of me,
pinpoint it.
I could not place it. I got home, I literally walked in the door, and I was like, I'm such an idiot. I know exactly who that was.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyways, it was just...
Yeah.
And it was one of those things, I'm used to seeing you guys on the road. I'm not...
Yes.
Like, Hardwood is not in my realm for you guys.
Yeah, this is new for us. So we're trying to get into it, because our 9-year-old daughter really loves mountain biking, and she likes racing. She did the Hardwood series last year.
Nice.
So we're getting into it so that we can encourage her to be into it more. And I think, it just really, going there really turned me on to mountain biking. Like, the people, the event, the kids, like, so many kids. I just thought, this is something I want for my kids and my family. So, yeah, we are road cyclists, but definitely we're going to be getting into the mountain biking, even if it's just for fun and not racing. Yeah.
You have a great resource at your fingertips with Trevor O'Donnell.
Yeah.
He's a roadie, but he's got some mountain bike skills.
Yeah.
Post-baby training. So, Tamara, you said you're not training to get back into it, but friendly competition with
And him. I'm wondering, for me, when I go back to work and I'm in more of like a schedule, maybe I'll try and put something in place for myself. Like, I have self-trained. Like, that's how I trained before. I was just made plans for myself. So I can make them flexible.
Yeah.
Make it easier to start. But I think that's maybe when I, in my back of my head, think I might. I forgot about my arm, but you know what I mean. I'll, on the trainer.
Are we talking like 2021 provincial champ again for mountain biking?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the podcast, so this lives forever. So.
No, my sure. Yeah, let's do it. No, my. I want to race again though next summer. Yeah, I want to race again.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Christine, you've done some big rides, Ride to Conquer.
I've done some longer road rides,
yep.
Yeah. I'd say I was all about road when I started. I did the Ride to Conquer Cancer as my first, like, real bike experience on a borrowed bike, not training at all. Getting off my bike at the big hill at the end of the first day. had to pause a lot of times. Like it took me a very long time to do that ride. But then I just really loved it and I was hooked. And so, yeah, I do some longer road rides for sure. And then, when did I get into mountain biking? Like a couple of years before Thomas was born, and just really liked, like it's less stress I find, right? It's nice to be in the forest and in nature. You don't have to battle with cars and things like that, but I do like both. Yeah.
So, but you're back riding now, mainly mountain bike now?
Yes.
Or a bit of both?
Mainly mountain bike, because I find that it's a better, like, sort of workout. It's, like, punchier, and road riding takes too long. So, you know, I can go out on a mountain bike and feel pretty decent after a couple of hours, but I feel like a road ride would need to be longer. Maybe I need more hills in that or something. But it's more of a time management thing, just to go out. I know the trails, I know the route, and come right home. Yeah.
Do you find, maybe this is a bit of an aside, but do you find, I find, that the difference in mountain biking versus road biking is, I find the fitness aspect is better road-wise because you can kind of hold something and keep it, versus the mountain biking is punchy. But if my mental game is not on, mountain biking is not the place to be.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're distracted or you're overly excited.
Or if there's a spider on the back of your leg.
Or if there's a spider on the back of your leg. It can be a dangerous place to be.
Right.
Even on flat terrain.
But in a sense, then, that's like mindfulness, right? Because you have to absolutely pay attention to every single thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so you can just focus and, like, that can be your escape, right? That can be your...
Yeah, totally.
Your break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, yeah, you gotta close out whatever happened 15 minutes before you got there. You gotta put that on the shelf and pick it up later. Because
whereas
if you
on
don't,
the road, you could kind of stem over, you know, what am I gonna make for dinner and what's, you know, gonna happen later in my day, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You're fairly new to mountain biking. Have you found that subtle little line between the two, or?
I have not got into mountain biking enough because I've only really been doing it with my daughter, so we're going pretty slow,
right?
You know. I was planning on trying racing this year, and that got squashed. Yeah, so I still, actually I saw Erica today, so I told her, okay, we gotta get out here. You gotta show me the reins.
Yeah, yeah, she'd be great at it.
Yeah.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you found out you were pregnant, did you have to shift or set any new goals of sort of expectations of yourself, or... Tamara, if we can start with you.
Yeah, so before getting pregnant, well, I waited a long time to get pregnant because I was afraid of the significant life change that I knew having a child would bring. But in my mind, I was very focused. And then when I got pregnant, I was super excited, but I was also like, oh my gosh. Everything I'm doing now, I'm not going to be able to do. I can just go for a bike ride whenever I want. My schedule is my own. And I thought, this is all going to change and it's going to be awful. If I'm real. And I didn't know. You're laughing at me, but
no,
I'm
that's no, be
that's
real.
Real.
That is
real.
That
I was
is...
super pumped, but I was also very nervous. And yeah, because. I knew that it was going to be a big life change, and I didn't know though until after he was born how much my priorities would shift and how much I would be okay with the fact that I can't just go riding every day, that I'm actually like, oh, I actually want to hang out with this little guy all the time and I'm having a lot of fun with him and I'm okay that I'm not training right now. Like I know I will get back there, and when I'm not breastfeeding it will be so much easier and all that. I didn't realize how much my priorities would shift just so quickly in that, oh, biking isn't everything now, and racing isn't everything, and training isn't everything. It's like, this little baby is everything, and now that he's getting bigger, I am starting to look forward to that, of training my body again, and pushing more, and riding more, but... I also am okay with the fact that I can't all the time like that. So that's been huge. I think once I'm done breastfeeding, he's a little bit bigger, I will start to set some goals again. I don't really have any goals per se. It's just to move my body right now and keep, I want to say keep riding. Right this second, I'm not going to keep riding. I'm injured, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's all I want to say about that.
Yeah. Christine?
I am a forever optimist, and I was the one that said, like, nothing's going to change, and I'm going to still be able to do everything that I want to do and have a baby. And then it hit me super hard when I had him, and I couldn't. And this little baby is just stuck to you all the time, literally sucking the living daylights out of you, like, really sucking the life out of you. So I had a very hard time accepting the new reality and the changes that come with that. And so it's been a process, and your priorities definitely change to, you know, like, I want to hang out with my son and have fun with him, but I also, like, want to get him into cycling so that it's something that we can do together. And yeah, major life change, totally different priorities, but it's totally cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, even though this is my fourth, I was like, I'm not changing anything. Like, I'm training right through my pregnancy. As soon as I get off the bike, I'm going to be, it'll be, okay, he's born May 30th. I'll be able to hit the end of the race season. Yeah, I was like, I'll just get fit right away. But yeah, all that stuff changes. Like, you know, you can hope for all that as much as you want, but it's really difficult to do. So I did that year, I think when he was 3 months old, I did the provincial time trial. And I was last place, but I knew I was going to be. I went into that almost more so to just show other women that you can do it. Like, don't not do a race because you think you're not going to do well. Like, don't not show up because you didn't get enough training in or whatever it is. Like, you can go for just the fun of it, right? I really wanted to demonstrate that, because even within my race team, you know, there are some athletes that are like, oh no, I'm not ready to do that race, or, right, there's a lot of sometimes excuses when we can't get the training done. And so I kind of wanted to set that example for women to be like, you know, if I can show up after having a baby 3 months and be last place, you know, at something where I would have been the top three normally, and that, you know, could be like a big ego hit, but I was like, no, like, I want to do this to kind of show women that it's possible, that we can just show up and not have to be competitive all the time. So yeah, it was good. It was fun. And I think a lot of women appreciated it. Like, I got a lot of women reached out to me and said, like, wow, you know, that was amazing that you were there. They liked seeing that the possibility was there.
You blew my mind. First time we met, you guys don't know this maybe, but Dee and I met at the Barry Cycling Club. It has a time trial route out on Ingram Road. And we chatted, I think, maybe a bit before, because there's only like a handful of, maybe less than 20 people. And we chatted a little bit, and then you went out and ripped it. And then, I don't know if you told me, no, you didn't tell me. Someone else told me after the fact. How long after was you had your baby?
It was maybe 6 weeks. Or
6 weeks before, and then she goes out, and it was cool for me. And that's maybe one of the bonuses of time trial or segments on Strava. You're really just comparing yourself against yourself. You don't need to be number one in the world. Your benchmark changes through time, whether it's an injury or baby, whatever. Your yardstick changes through time. And okay, so 6 weeks after baby, you went out and said, okay, here's my benchmark. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm at.
Yeah.
That was cool. I was like,
better.
I was really pumped for you. Like, that was incredible.
It's funny, actually, because I remember you asking me what my time was going to be, and it was a 15 kilometer time trial. And I was like, oh, probably. So normally I would do it in about 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, so I guess 23 minutes, you know. I came in at like, I think 30 minutes. I was like, oh my god. They're all waiting for me, because they put you in line with where you think you're gonna be, right? And then meanwhile everyone's passing me, And I'm not, and then I get to the end, it's like 30 minutes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I was a little bit embarrassed, but I didn't know that
yeah.
I would be that much slower.
No, I think it's important that we are gentle with ourselves,
yeah.
right? And I mean, you had those expectations, but that you came in 7 minutes later to just that's okay. Right. And
yeah.
that's where you're starting. And, I think
yeah.
we put a lot of pressure on ourselves
oh, yeah.
really early on to get back to what we used to be.
Yeah.
You know, be kind to yourselves. You're still right in the thick of it
oh,
right
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm.
You will be better and stronger than ever, but it's tough.
Yeah.
I feel like I've had women like you to look at and see that they've done the same as you, where it's not about going back. And as competitive people, it's hard to go
yeah.
into something not at our best and know that we're not at our best. But yeah, seeing other people like you, I'm sure, has helped me, even though I'm not racing, obviously. There's no races. Knowing that it's not about going out and being my best right now. It's just
yeah.
about, yeah.
And you don't
going
have to wait
and,
until
yeah.
you're as
no,
fit
yeah,
as you
to
used
go
to be.
And ride or to
you're
go
not
and
expected
race.
To show up as the old
the
Tamara, right?
Yes.
You can
just
about. Show up as the new,
exactly.
improved.
Exactly, exactly. With a different
rock
star mindset.
Mom,
yeah.
I can
yeah.
ride
yeah.
2.0.
Yeah.
Keep and you'll get there, away. This is an engine, right? And right now it's a little bit rusty, so it's just polishing it. It's still there. That engine is still you. So
totally.
It's just the cleaning and conditioning and preparing, and it comes back 100%.
That's a good way.
And that's probably changing your expectations of, Christine, you're saying, just be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I've talked about with other people before is trying to say to yourself things that you would say to a competitor in a race. You would never tell a competitor in a race that they're doing a crappy job or that they're weak or any of that stuff. So don't say that to yourself. It's not productive. It's not helpful. You just gotta just accept where you're at and know that it's gonna get better.
Yeah. And don't compare yourself to other people. I find I do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, oh, but she's going this fast, or, you know, and I want to be there. And they're just like, okay, that's not you. Just think about yourself and what you're capable of right now.
That's part of what drives competitiveness,
yeah.
though, right? So to know where you have been and where you want to go, that's what's going to motivate you to get better.
Yeah.
But it can't be the thing that gets you down or stops you from moving forward.
Yeah. And then, I one of my best friends, Paulina Allen, she's an amazing road racer and athlete. She's 50, and she last week went out and did, in a group of five, 322 kilometers in 10 hours. Her average watts were 202 for 10 hours. She's 58 kilos or something. She's 50.
That's
so
awesome.
She's just amazing. I think she's one of the fittest in Ontario right now, too, to be honest, for female. And I look at her and I'm just like, okay, that's 10 years away from me. I have tons of room here, right? So women like that are just so inspiring for the rest of us.
Totally.
And would you say that it's fair to ask for help if you maybe say don't know how to get to, do you want me to go this way this time? If there's expectations that you have of yourself, or if you know that you're wanting to hit a certain goal, fair to ask for help?
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah, for sure. I I ride with my friend Paulina all the time, and she's a lot stronger than me, and you know, sometimes it's difficult for me, but I just have to say, okay, I'm gonna hang back, you go ahead, instead of trying to force myself to keep up with her. I think you have to be honest with yourself, right? So you can still enjoy the ride, and then be honest with her, listen, this has to be this type of ride. I can only go this far or this fast. And people want to help you. People want to help you. They want to ride with you. They want to see you get back in shape. So yeah, if you tell them, you know, this is the realistics of what I'm capable of, most people, they want to help you out.
And I think for all three of you, you all have partners who are also cyclists, but just knowing that you all are very fit and they want you, I think if that's a good communication thing between your partner, if you feel you're not fit, it's okay to ask for help and say, I'm struggling with this, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and my husband have a lot of those conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in the beginning, trying to get back in shape and having those doubts, like, I don't know if I can do this. I it's too hard. And, you know, him kind of just nudging me along and saying, yeah, you know, you can do this. Like, I'm here to help you. What do you need? So reaching out for that support, and I think vocalizing it, and that's part of the mental health aspect too. If we keep all this stuff inside our heads, it amplifies it, but if we voice it or we write it down, now it's out and we can kind of let it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think the mental health in general, mental health is becoming more of a talked about thing, which is awesome. And I imagine, obviously I'm not a mom, you guys are, I imagine that's definitely a part of it with postpartum. And
yeah, so I had postpartum depression after two of my pregnancies. And actually, this is how John and I got into cycling. I was super depressed. We had two babies back to back. We got into running. We got a running coach who was a pro triathlete. And she's like, why don't you guys try swimming? Why don't you guys get a bike? And honestly, it saved our marriage. Like, we were miserable after having those two babies at home. It's not like always fun. Like 50% of the time you're like, what did I do?
Yep.
The work of it is really not enjoyable. Like the work of parenting, the repetitiveness of it, the sleepless nights. I also had postpartum depression and I really struggled with that. But to be able to separate that, you can still love your child and still get lots of enjoyment from it, but not love the work of the parenting.
Yeah.
Right?
And the crying and the screaming and the not knowing what to do. Why are you crying? I've changed you. I've fed you. I've bounced you up and down. Just please stop. So, yeah, it takes a toll on you. And then I was depressed during my last pregnancy. I think most of that was because I wasn't planning on having another child. But I was extremely depressed and it was really, really challenging. But yeah, we definitely worked through it.
And that's what physical activity does for the brain, right? And that's why I talk about like mindfulness and feeling like yourself again, is just doing things that you've previously enjoyed. If you can be gentle with yourself that it's not going to be the same, and just be happy that you're alone, maybe for a couple of hours, or yeah, that'll make a big difference on your mental health, right?
But do you feel that the communication of, whether it's your partner or grandparents or whatever?
Oh, totally. I don't think we would have survived the first couple months if we didn't have my parents and my husband's parents helping. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you need support.
You need support.
Something
yeah.
I tell people that are just thinking of having kids is, like, make a plan. Like, if you don't have family, start saving up money to hire help, because it is draining. It is so difficult. So you need that support for sure. Yeah, whether you're a cyclist or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to like showering sometimes you can't even get
done. I had help and didn't ask for help. Mm. I can do this. I can do this all myself. I can handle this, until you can't handle it anymore. So then people had to step in and help me.
Yes, and you don't want to get to that breaking point.
Of
so
course.
Just say, yeah. I think a lot of times for new moms too, is you really feel this sense of obligation to prove that you can do it all, that you can show up. Like, I'm a great mom. And yeah, I've noticed with each kid that I've just been like, no, more help. Each kid you have,
and
you're
I
more
think
open.
I was lucky going into it, seeing so many friends and people that like had gone before me and struggled and said, you need to ask for help, accept help. And I was like, yes, yes, okay. And so I did from the beginning, and that did make such a difference. But if I didn't have people before me saying, I struggled, I don't want you to struggle, accept the help, I wouldn't have done it either. But yes, it's so important. Yes, help.
But the saying of, it takes a village to raise a kid,
yes.
I think it takes a village to support new parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the moms.
Yeah.
Definitely got to have that.
Yes.
So earlier we were talking a bit about feeling guilty for going out for the rides and taking this time away from the family. And I think something that's really important is when you have children, they need to see you enjoy your passions. Like, that's an example we want to set for them. So even though I often feel really guilty, especially with four kids, dividing my time between them, then giving my husband time, then taking time for myself, it's a lot of chopping up of the day. But I want them to see mom go out and be happy and have these dreams and be achieving them. because I think for them later on in life, if I'm home all the time and later on I'm depressed because I don't have any enjoyment, I don't have any hobbies, that I think is going to be worse for them than me spending more time with them when they're little and not having that example to set for them. So yep. I think with those feelings of guilt, yeah, we need to be careful and then remind ourselves that we're giving them a gift by taking time for ourselves.
I think that's really great for a parent to have some independence of, you know, kids can be Klingons, but, you know, it's good to carve that time out so that they know that a parent can be away. And
you just have more to give if you filled yourself up first, right?
Absolutely.
Then you're a happier mom to be around.
Yeah.
And
they're not always going to be there. Like, it seems like forever right now. But I have a 21-year-old who's gone from the house. I don't see her a lot. Eventually, all the kids will be gone. And then what are you left with when they go and you don't have them to fill your time with? You have to have something there. I think that kind of you could get really depressed later on when the kids fly the nest and you're left with no hobbies, no passions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's what we were talking about before was it's finding that time with your partner to have that hobby together, possibly,
yeah,
to talk about that stuff.
So. Yeah, and even doing it as a family, like you guys said, you know, you're getting the kids out on the bike in the trailer, this, that, you know, at least that's something once they separate from you, you can continue on, right? And then you've given them a gift as well.
That's probably good from an early age, because obviously racing is in your family, Dee, that as kids, they go to races, they know what a race is, they kind of get to see it. Chances are you guys have probably made some incredibly gifted athletes that are going to be racing as well.
Hopefully at least one.
No pressure.
But, yeah.
I'd like to live through someone.
Exactly.
Let's jump in with some Bell Lab questions here. 15-second power D.
Top secret.
Okay. Christine?
Yeah, no trainer. I don't know.
Tamara?
I don't know.
Okay, that's fair. You're drinking coffee, D.
Decaf.
Decaf! Oh.
Decaf only. I know, I'm a wimp.
No, that's good. How do you take your coffee?
With milk.
Yeah. I've only drank one coffee in my life, and it was by mistake.
Get out of here. Yeah. I was stunned with Deech saying decaf before I just about fell over. You've never had coffee?
No.
That's even more stunning.
I did have one, and I was like super, I was super jittery, and I never did it again. Never
get
did
that
here. Drug again.
Wow. That's why I drink decaf. It just amps, the coffee amps me up too much.
Yeah.
You should not speak to me in the morning until I've had the coffee. I just have one caffeinated coffee a day, and then I'll drink decaf because I just love coffee, but nothing happens until I've had a coffee.
That's fair. Raisins and cookies.
Yeah.
No.
Oof. Pineapple on pizza.
Yes.
Nope.
No.
Really? Oh, man.
You
what's
know what it is?
Here?
I'm
You're
vegan.
Killing me here.
So that, I'm down with those fruits and veggies.
All the veggies.
Fair enough. Do you care if it's SRAM or Shimano on your bike?
No, I don't.
I don't care.
No.
You're asking the wrong spouse.
Yeah, me too.
Fair enough. That was great. Thank you so much, ladies. That was a fantastic time. I loved having
Thanks for inviting us.
Thanks for inviting us to your driveway, Mark.
Yeah, anytime you guys want to come back, you got something to talk about, let's...
Yeah.
Dee,
yes.
Can I get you on the record? 100K time trial that we threw down a challenge. Is Highgate putting together a team?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Any other set of four ladies, Highgate Racing is putting down, they're throwing down. So we need teams of four ladies. Get on it.
That's our show for today, folks. I really want to thank Deidre D. Maloney from Highgate Racing, Christine Pratt from Christine Pratt Physiotherapy, Tamara Hopkins, and a special mention to Nadia Muncha for her involvement getting us set up with this episode. However you found us, I'm very grateful that you did. We're on the socials at All Wheels Pod. We have a Facebook page, and if you'd like to email us, it's allwheelsrolling@gmail.com. Hope you enjoy, folks. As always, if you have feedback, please get to us. Thanks. Bye.